So China is having a difficult time today. Some less than expected growth in China, 8.1% in the latest measure of China's GDP. That's a problem, but it's also having a difficult time doing something that it's normally the best in the world at, censoring critical and controversial comments about the Chinese Communist Party from circulating on the internet. This time, the source of the problem is not some offshore group of political dissidents or some investigative journalists trying to expose human rights violations. No, this time it is the people of China, inside China, trying to understand what's going on in their own country, in their own government, in the midst of the biggest political scandal in decades. The fall of party hardliner and once rising star Bo Xilai has become linked to the murder of a British businessman. Bo Xilai's wife is accused of that murder. And this scandal overlays an even deeper mystery about the once-in-a-decade power transition going on in the Chinese Communist Party. Some websites have gone so far as to say there has already been a coup in Beijing. Joining us now is Jonathan Fenby, author of the new book, Tiger Head, Snake Tales. He's following this very, very closely. Jonathan, thanks for joining us from London.
It's a pleasure.
What do you make of this scandal, and are the details of the scandal less or more significant than the power shift that's going on in the Chinese Communist Party?
Well, they're both significant. The Bo Xilai affair tells you a lot about how China is working, or how it was working before it all blew up. Bo Xilai was a fast-rising, I've always called him the rock star of Chinese politics, and he was aiming for the very top. That's a body called the Standing Committee of the Politburo of the Chinese Communist Party. A bit clumsy, I know, but that's what it's called. And those are the nine men, they are all men, who run China. And at the Party Congress, which is being held this autumn, six or seven of the nine members of that committee will be replaced. And Bo was aiming to be one of the new guys at the top, and we think he was aiming to take over the internal security, the police portfolio in that, which would have made him extraordinarily powerful. So there's that big power thing, and then, if you like, on the spot, there's this fascinating intrigue involving a British businessman, Neil Haywood, who was found dead in his hotel room in Chongqing, which is a mega municipality of 32 million people, which Bo Xilai ran until last month. And Haywood is said to have business dealings with Go's wife. They then fell out, and his death was initially attributed to excess consumption of alcohol, but he didn't drink or drank very little, and the body was cremated before there could be an autopsy. This is now all being opened up, and it's a huge can of worms.
Well, let's talk about a scenario here. I mean, on the one hand, there's this scandal. This rising star stumbles because of bad decisions and, of course, a murder now being accused, his wife being accused of. But is it possible that this is, in fact, a takedown, that somebody wanted Bo Xilai's star to fall? And so this scandal was either deliberately disclosed by people who maybe do the same sorts of things but made it public, or it was manufactured.
I think you're absolutely right there. In my book, when I finished it, that was last autumn, the time books take to get published, I wrote that Bo was a rising star, but he was riding for a fall, and that the men around him at the top were likely to try to bring him down if they could. He was far too individualistic. He was running, he was almost as if he was running in the US presidential race. He glad-handed, he held populist rallies, he was very, very media savvy, and China is run by a group of men who are very consensus, very low profile, don't speak out, have no real public relationships at all. So Bo, he was the lone ranger, the wild card in all this, and he was dangerous to them because of that. And now what we've got in China, despite this earthquake, which is fascinating politically, you've actually got a return to the previous status quo under which China is being run by two or three big factions at the top who've now cleared the scene of this troublesome outsider.
Now, you know, it's been easy for those Chinese leaders in the Standing Committee for the last two decades because China has had unbridled growth and it's been an extraordinary economic success for China. But do these economic figures coming out showing growth missing the target, significantly missing the target, create a scenario where suddenly these factions are going to have to share a smaller pie, and that would create the possibility for much more tension this autumn?
There is a real process going on in China at the moment of changing the economic model. The model from the 1980s, which depended on cheap labour, cheap capital and foreign markets, particularly in the United States, which lapped up cheap Chinese goods, deflation and, of course, welcomed Chinese money to fund the federal deficit and keep down interest rates. All that model has run out of time. And the Chinese leaders know this. I've seen internal secret documents from the leadership who know they have to change, they have to move up the technology chain, they've got to reduce dependence on exports, they've got to boost domestic consumption. I mean, it's extraordinary. In this supposedly communist country, the share of labour, of workers' pay, is about half of what it is in the United States.
Wow.
In terms of total wealth. You know, the people who've done well in China over the last 10 years are the capitalists, and they're mostly in the Communist Party. That has to change. The people at the top know it has to change. I've been dragged into this debate, being asked, amazingly, to write an article for the main Chinese state newspaper arguing why there has to be economic restructuring and economic change. So that shows people are aware of it. The difficulty is that, as you rightly said, John, this has been so successful, and what are called the vested interests, that's to say the big state enterprises and the people who are doing very well at the moment, they will fight tooth and nail to prevent change. So over the next, it's not an immediate thing, things take time in China, but over the next year or so, we're going to see an enormous debate going on, and the outcome of that is very important for China, but it's also very important for the United States, given that the China-US relationship is the most important one in the world today.
So a tectonic shift there. So then, is that what you allude to there? When somebody in the United States sees this story on the front cover of The Economist or on the front page of the New York Times and says, oh, that's kind of interesting and titillating, you say, here's why you need to pay attention to this. What's your answer to that?
America needs to pay enormous attention to China because it's the second biggest economy in the world, because its economy will overtake in crude terms, not in per capita terms. The Chinese are still quite a poor people, but because there are 1.3 billion of them, the China's economy will overtake the United States probably in 5, 6, 7 years. That relationship is absolutely vital. And, for instance, American companies, if you take Apple, for instance, the iPhone, the price that an American consumer pays for the iPhone, 75% about of that stays with Apple. Only 6% of it goes to the Chinese workers who are actually putting together the iPhones. Now, when the Chinese government, as it is doing now, hikes up wages, 20% annual increase in wages in China at the moment, this is going to have an effect on American companies, it's going to have an effect on American consumers, it's going to have an effect on the whole world. And that, how that relationship plays out, as I say, is, I think, absolutely vital for the next 5 to 10 years.
We may end up calling it the Bo-Xi-Lai inflationary spiral that began with this scandal. Jonathan Fenby, contributor to the New York Times and author on Chinese economics, author of the book Tiger Head, Snake Tales, and soon to be an author for the Chinese state media there. Jonathan, thanks so much.